Okay, good morning. How are y'all? Good. So we're going to be talking about generous hospitality, and so that I get a feel for where you all are and what you're hoping to get out of this, we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. But first, I'm going to talk a little bit about myself so that you understand my background. I have a wife and three children. We've been with IFI hosting guests since about 2008. We've participated in holiday hosting, airport pickup, temporary housing, conversational partner, and our church has provided food for a Bible study. I'd also like to introduce Dora, who is with us. She is actually an international student that has been hosted, and she's going to give a little bit of brief story around what she's experienced, I think, right? So that'll be at some point during the discussion. Okay, so what we're going to be doing is we're going to be going through and talk a little bit about the experiences that my wife and I and our family have had, and around the heart of hospitality. Obviously, Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and loaded down with burdens, and I will give you rest." This is a great way to start this out simply because it's all about Christ, right? And I think was it Evan that said that, you meet students that have never heard of Christ, right? So that's something that we want to be focusing on as we think through this. Other verses we look at here that are related to hospitality. I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the least of one of these brothers of mine, you did for me, in Matthew 25:40. And I think Rich referred to this next verse: "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." So before we go further, I'd like to just bow for a word of prayer so that we can start with opening this up to Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to be here together today. We are all here for hopefully the right purposes, but we don't all feel the same level of comfort in doing so. But we do want to serve you, and we know that that we are according to your word, even we are strangers in a foreign world. In that our real home is not here. We ask that you help us to be motivated and strengthened, encouraged, and empowered to be your eyes, arms, and loving individuals, so that we might pass your love on to those in whom we get the strength from you for these international students. We ask that you be with us so that we might also get more confidence and comfort in being able to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Details common to all settings. Near-term focus here, was consideration for fall student airport pickup and temporary housing. When I had created this, I created it, and we did a presentation in August, I think it was. But everything that we talk about here is applicable across the board for hospitality with international students. If you're going to pick them up whether it's the airport or whether it's their dorm rooms. Remember, many of these students, when you're doing hospitality for like a holiday meal or something to that effect, you're going to be facing the same kinds of things. You want to make sure that you're introducing yourself to the student. You want to make it really clear the schedule for the day, or generally while being in your house, if it's going to be for longer. Bottom line is that you could be doing something for multiple days, or you could be doing something just for a given day, for a holiday. But regardless of what you do, you want to make sure that they kind of know what to expect. Keep in mind, this is an uncomfortable. We think sometimes about us being uncomfortable. Think about how uncomfortable it is for them. Have any of you ever done any traveling that's, of that nature? I know some of you said that you have done a lot of traveling. I think Judy said she's done a lot. With respect to that, I remember as a engineering student at Ohio State back in the 80s, when I first decided to do a co-op type engineering assignment, went to Texas, and I'd never been away from my home here at all. And it's interesting how real being a visitor somewhere becomes to you when you are first a visitor, right? So now you think about, if that was that way for me as a student going from Ohio to Texas, think what it's like going from China to the United States, not knowing the language all that well, different culture, different school, different environment, not all your friends being there, and then you go and you stay in somebody's house, right? So the first thing you want to think about is, how do you make it more comfortable for the students, right? So in doing so, keep in mind the first thing is to make sure that you know their name. That, how much, when you guys go somewhere and it's somewhere different, whether it's a church when you first visit or something like that, how good is it for someone to know your name? I mean, it has a huge impact. So try to ensure that you focus on knowing how to say their name, because you can ask them the first time, and then try to write your own phonetics out, right, as to how to say their name, right? The schedule for the day then is important so that they know what to expect. You want to tell them, you know, what the pickup arrangements are, whether there's transportation available, do they have any kind of dietary restrictions? So if you're going to have them for a holiday meal or something like that, these are all really important things to do. When will the student be returning? Sometimes there are questions around, how long do I let this go? Do I just invite them and then just like whenever they're ready to go? Well, you might get yourself in an awkward position, right? I mean, you know, because they may not feel comfortable talking. You may not feel comfortable thinking, well, I don't want them to feel like they're... So, you know, basically, if you are open to the whole day, make it clear that you're open to the whole day. If you're open to, I mean, what you're really planning is you're planning on having them come and experience, you know, maybe an extended family gathering for a holiday or something like that, just tell them, you know, we'll be picking you up at such and such a time, you know, you'll tell me where to pick you up, and we will be having a family meal together. Typically, these are the kinds of things that we do, right? And then, you know, we'll be leaving sometime in the range, you know, between 2 to 3, take you back, or whatever it is, right? But if you give them those expectations, that takes one thing off of their plate of feeling uncomfortable about, okay? Dietary restrictions, you do want to ask that. We'll talk a little bit more later about why, but I mean, you know, certain, you know, keep in mind, these are not, you know, Christians, you've got Muslims, and, you know, they've got dietary restrictions that you don't want to serve them certain things, right? Some of that you can look up ahead of time and say, okay, well, I know that I shouldn't be serving this. Other things you might just want to ask about and find out. And tell them you're looking forward to meeting them in person, right? That's very, very important. And give them an opportunity to ask questions, right? Because they very well may and yet may hesitate to ask you that, right? Put the student at ease. So we talked about learning the student's name in advance. One of the first things that we typically do when we bring students in is we give them a tour of our home. They love to be asked, not always, but I mean some love to be asked to help. And if they're an outgoing type, sometimes, you know, they'll come and they'll ask, you know, is there something I can do, right? Have something for them to do. It's great to feel, you know, useful and like you're helping out in the kitchen, right? Music is a great bridge. There's a couple of our, this family here, you know, the father, ended up being the student, but his wife, and two children were there as well, right? And so it really became a family that came to visit, which was an interesting change too, but, they love to sit down at the piano and mess around with that. One of the things we've done on every, time we've had a student is we will pull out, we'll get this big map. Our kids were homeschooled, and so we get this big map that we just pull out, you know, and we say, show us where you're from, right? And you can tell from, you know, the look on her face, and that's what we get almost every time. People enjoy talking about their home. You ever get people to talk, and usually they'll talk more about their family, about their home, about their friends, about their, you know, so when you're talking about how to form relationships, right, talk about their lives. You know, learn as much as you can about them. I don't know if you've ever, you know, we used to teach our home schooling kids about how to be a conversationalist. And we did it with this little foam bowl, right? And we said, think of when you're starting a conversation of passing the ball to someone, right? So, and then when they, and you don't want to ask just yes, no questions, right? You want to ask questions that actually, you know, require some form of an answer, you know, tell me about your traditions, you know, whatever that kind of thing might be, right? And then as and be listening, active listening, as they're talking to you about these kinds of things, right? Next thing you want to do is then pick out something of interest to you, right? That they're sharing about their family life or whatever, their culture, and build off of that. You can keep conversations going forever. That ball just keeps passing back and forth, right? So that's something that you want to do. But they love to talk often. The students that we've had in our home love to talk about their home, where they're from, and tell us about, you know, the size of the city, all those kinds of things, place of origin, families, individuals, friends, that kind of thing. By the way, let me just, Greg, it's Greg, right? A little bit of background about them. Yep.
With two of them, language was, they knew very little. They were almost brand new.
Yep.
With a lot of the details you're talking about there, would it be better to email them and they could translate it?
You know, typically our first experience is an email, and then we will follow up with a call. But you can also take the email approach and ask, would it be okay to call, or would it be helpful to call, depending upon the wording that you want to use on there, right? To give them flexibility to say, yeah, no, that's fine. I've got enough. Or, you know, would it be helpful to have a conversation with you personally? Or do you feel like you have enough information to be, you know, picked up and that kind of thing, right? You can do that. And either way, you're giving them flexibility. Now, to your point, though, that's very common. That people will have challenges because, you know, they may not have been here long at all. They've had some English. I don't know how many of you have actually tried to learn another language. Okay? And if you're anything like me, as you say, Greg, first thing that you do is you get pretty decent at reading it and maybe even writing it. But when you're in the middle of a conversation and people are going like normal speed, it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Can't handle it, right? So what you'll find, and we were going to talk a little bit about this a little bit more, but what you'll find is that you have to be very intentional about your communication. When I say intentional, I'm really saying think slow. Enunciate well, communicate slowly, wait for answers. Why? Because most any of them are going to periodically pull out one of these things, and they're going to answer you if they're new. Now, it's not, I mean, we've had students that are very good with English, right? But we've also had them that haven't. And they'll apologize, you know, 13 ways about, you know, I'm sorry, I'm slow, right? But having just gone down to Ecuador for my first trip, you know, I can't tell you how many times I had to say más lentamente, por favor. You know, more slowly, please. Got a slow mind, right? And that's the kind of thing that you'll hear, right? And so just make sure that you're being very slow, intentional, enunciate, and give them time to pull out their phone, do translations if they need to, okay? So I think others had that same question about, you know, language barriers. What I was going to say, and I'm glad you raised your hand, Greg, please, this is an open forum. As you have a question that pops up, it doesn't mean I'm going to have an answer to everything, but I will do my best. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So many words we use, they're slang and so forth. And so what you're talking a little slower, don't assume what words they know and so forth. I've already seen that.
Yep.
And he seems to appreciate,
exactly,
you know, when I work at the communication.
Yes. And we have a tendency to slur our language when we're talking. Often we're going just too fast, and I mean, it's natural. It's not like, you know, problem or anything, but when you are working with international students, it is important to think about that. Very, very important. Okay, other considerations. You know, if you have a large family gathering, then you might have name tags. You know, on holiday, holiday gatherings, you know, we'll have maybe three or four families, you know, my extended family all in one room or one house, you know, for a meal, and we'll be eating in different rooms, that kind of thing. That can be hard, right, for them. So if you have name tags, that can help them. At least they can feel a little bit more comfortable interacting, right? Pictures help. Children, yours, and siblings, theirs, right? So, you know, using pictures to make a way to communicate about their family or your family. Again, people like talking about their families and things, right? So that's just something that you can take advantage of to try to interact a little bit more and get some interesting conversation, right? The other thing, by the way, is that, you know, they will often, with our technology, they will take pictures right there on the spot, and they will literally send those to their family right there on the spot. So be aware that's fun for them. You know, that's their way of interacting and saying, this is what I'm experiencing in the culture of the United States. If they're staying for one or more nights, do remember things like safety, like what to do if the fire alarm goes off, any areas to stay away from on your property or in the neighborhood. At one point in time, we had a sheep dog that, you know, was pretty protective of the sheep. And so she didn't know some people, you know, she could, you know, take a nip at you or something like that. So you'd want to let them know, right? So that's something that you just want to be thinking about too. Cultural differences. A lot of cultures will take their shoes off at the door, and they actually, in some ways, we feel like we're helping by saying, oh no, don't worry about taking your shoes off. But in some cases, because of their cultural background, in reality, they feel more uncomfortable because you tell them, don't worry about it, when you think you're being really, right? Because in reality, from a cultural standpoint, that's what they do. So what you can say in that kind of scenario is say, you're welcome to take your shoes off or keep them on, whatever you'd like, whatever you feel more comfortable with, right? And some may be more direct than others. So a quick example, my daughter one time, because I think the student was closer in age to my daughter's age, she felt more comfortable talking to her, and she said, "No, I'm just really surprised." And my daughter said, "Surprised by what?" "I thought all Americans were fat, you know." And so that was the perception, you know. And the bottom line is that, you know, some of, you know, again, culturally, she felt comfortable sharing that. Because in reality, she's just kind of saying, well, that's kind of what we hear in, you know, in our country, right? So don't be offended, right? There are different ways of communicating. Some will be rather blunt. Some will be very reserved and may not feel comfortable, you know, chatting about certain things. You just kind of need to try to read them a little bit. But more importantly, just make sure that you're not offended and recognize that they are a different, you know, from a different cultural background, and so it's going to be different, right? You know, another cultural difference in a lot of countries is bartering. I mean, you know, when we get, generally speaking, here in the United States, you go to the store, you got a price tag on it, you pay it, right? That's not the case in other places, right? So you might talk to them a little bit about how you do it, right, and that kind of thing. And you might also ask them about things that might be related, you know, how is this done in your culture, right, in your country. Gifts from the student. It is very common that, from our experience, that the students will come, they will bring a gift. Not always, but when they do, man, they feel really good and important and that you care about them. If you just take the time right then, this is beautiful. I'm going to go down and get the hammer and nail. I'm going to put it up. And you just put it up right there, right? And these are the kinds of things that we have in our house, because when they bring gifts, and then other gifts, will, in fact, very common, will be a treat from their country, something that you can't get here very easily in the United States. And you'll then ask them about that. Well, tell me about that. Okay, so when do you have these kinds of treatments? Do you have it often? Is this your favorite? Where's your favorite? You know, what's your favorite? Those kinds of things, right? They give you a treat. You don't have to wait. And in fact, you might not want to wait, you know, for dessert time or something like that. You might just say, hey, you know what? If it's okay with you, I wouldn't mind just trying this out right now, you know? You try it out and you say, man, this is awesome, right? This is good stuff. Thank you for letting me experience a little bit about your culture, right? These are the kinds of things, right? Something that I want to point out here about age. Sadly, in the United States, we don't value age. Often we actually look down upon those that are older in our society, right? I have a mother that's 94. I have yet to meet an international student that doesn't respect her very, very highly. Age is very, very valued, right? Was 93 at the time. I actually know her age. It's, you know, but at the time I created the slide deck, she was 93. But it's something that I think that is very, very good because family and, you know, the entire, you know, multi-generational unit is valued very highly in many, many countries, right? Okay, the meal. Give thanks. You know, if that's what you do normally, don't hesitate to do so because they are of a different background or Muslim or whatever. Remember, they came to experience an American holiday in an American family the way that family traditionally lives, daily life, right? So give thanks, inform them in advance why and how we pray. Meaning, you know, why do we do this? Well, we're thanking God, this is what we do every meal. Gives them a feel for what you're doing before you do it, right? Serve traditional foods. They typically, you know, I've heard sometimes that, you know, those that are hosting international students are trying to ensure that their meals are aligned with the international. I would say, don't do that. Generally speaking, they want to experience America. They want to see what an American family eats. Serve your normal stuff, so long as you've asked those questions ahead of time about what to avoid or whatever, right? So, you know, holiday meals drive additional considerations, such as education on tradition. You might want to say, you know, if you're doing Thanksgiving, you know, I think, was it Brenda, you were talking about Thanksgiving, maybe instead of Christmas. So, you know, you're doing Thanksgiving, you might want to talk a little bit about, well, you know, why do we have Thanksgiving? When was it created? Which president? Why did they do it? You know, we've been doing it ever since. And so when we're doing this, we're thankful to God, you know, for the many blessings, blah, 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 right? Participation in pictures. So I was telling you that sometimes they like to take pictures. And so what we do is like, you know, we'll go in sometimes I remember the first time I offered at a Thanksgiving meal, would you like to have your picture taken with a turkey? You'd have thought I just gave them a car. They were so excited. I mean, they just lit up, went over there. They couldn't wait. You know, they got their picture taken with the turkey, and immediately, just, can you send it to me? You know, so that I can send it to my family, right? It was great. It was an American tradition, and it was with a family, and we got the turkey, and we got the rest of the family behind it and everything. They were so excited, right? Allow them to participate in cooking. We talked about that. Meal mechanics, passing food. Hey, you know, we this is the way we do things here. We typically pass, you know, the things just around the table. You don't have to take some of everything. Take whatever you want. Leave whatever you want. Pass it on, that kind of thing. Give, again, keep in mind, they are unfamiliar, potentially, depending upon how long they've been here in the United States, but they could be unfamiliar with the tradition. So anything you can do to help them feel more comfortable, that's the objective. Stretch yourself. Consider using chopsticks, if relevant, for instance, for a Chinese. When we first had international students, and by the way, I said that I've been with IFI since about eight years or something like that. We actually started hosting international students about 30 years ago. It just, IFI didn't exist down in Texas where we were, where we got married. But that's where we started. I first, you know, and they brought us chopsticks as a gift. I tried to use them. I'd have starved, you know, because I couldn't get anything to stay on those things, right? But I decided, because we've had a lot of Chinese students over the years, and I decided I'm going to keep working at this. I can pick up spaghetti now, So, yeah, stretch yourself. We've served plenty of traditional American food. We've done chili, eggs, breads, turkey and dressing, potatoes, different forms, varieties of soup. You do have to watch the pork for Muslims, right? So be careful about that. Internationals might want to reciprocate with some traditional meals from them in your home or theirs. We've had this happen a number of times. And sometimes they will come and they will spend a fair amount of time. On the left there, this is Afnan from Saudi Arabia. She appreciated our daughter who had done conversational partner so much with her. She wanted to fix a traditional meal. So she came over when I was at work, and I heard by the time I got home, she'd been there for 4 hours, and she'd never cooked a meal before. So she was on the phone most of the time in Saudi Arabia talking to her mother about how to fix this meal. The decorations she used for our meal were interesting, to say the least. So I come home, you know, she's been there, and they've been cooking up a storm. She's got many different types of things for us to try. And there's flags hanging up everywhere, you know, and I'm sitting there. And after we said the prayer and everything, I said, you know, it's really nice the way you decorated it up and everything. Looks like, you know, this might have something to say in your language. Can you tell me what it says? She says, sure. Says, Allah is God and Muhammad is his prophet. And I'm going, you know. And so, seriously, for a brief moment, and I'm just being honest with you, for a brief moment, because I want to honor God in everything that I do, right? I thought, oh my gosh, I don't want this in my house. But it was only a brief moment. Consider what we are dealing with. We're dealing with people that were raised in a particular way. They only know the information that they know. They've been taught this. This is the way they were raised. We are here to be God's representatives to them. But we certainly should not expect in any way, shape, or form for them to change overnight. You know, not that God can't do that. We know that the Holy Spirit can change someone overnight, but we also should not expect that, right? And we shouldn't be pushing things or anything like that. We are there to represent God, to be his reflection to them. And so it, you know, obviously it was a short, very short time that I thought about that in my head. And I thought, man, this is just a real privilege to be able to be here with her and try to represent as best we can our godly life and pray in front of her, etc. The coffee she fixed was unique. And I thought, she brought the coffee in these little glasses. They were beautifully decorated. Not cups like we have, little glasses, real thick, because, you know, still hot. But it was an entirely different type of coffee. And when I tried that coffee, I got to tell you, I think it was the worst drink I've ever had in my life. It was incredibly strong. I thought, oh my God. And then I thought, all right, we are here to be her hosts and hostesses, you know, my wife. And I thought, I'm going to drink this coffee. If it kills me, I'm going to drink this coffee. And I drank it, and I got through it. She comes back. I mean, it's like within 30 seconds, she was up, back, brought back, because when you finish, and I asked about it, right, when you finish something in their culture, it must be filled back up. That's the way. So I learned my lesson. Don't finish it next time, which is fine. All right. So there are cultural implications. I'm just giving you these stories because these are the way things go, right? Here's Sang, bottom right-hand corner, or bottom of the slide here. She's from South Asia. She also wanted to help with a meal. She fixed us mohinga. I can't even tell you what all was in that soup. I know that when I asked what was in it before I took my first bite, I thought, yeah, this might not be so good. It was incredible. It was incredible. So much so that my wife now makes it. Okay. Conversational suggestions. What do students talk about during meals in their home, right? Just ask them that kind of. What do they like to do with their free time? What do their parents do? By the way, so I see some of you taking notes down. Just to let you know, on the IFI website, there are many suggestions. I don't know whether they have all of these or not. These are things that we use, but I'm sure that they have most of these, if not all of them, and then many more. So there are good tools out there for that. What's the student studying? What do their parents do? What family traditions do they have? Why are they studying it? What do they plan on doing afterwards? They plan on staying in the United States? Do they plan on going back? You remember Rich was talking in the opening about when they go back to their country, they have a huge opportunity to have an impact on others, right? Do they have any religious background? If so, what is it? How did they learn it? Those kinds of things. Generally trade cultural understandings. We talked a little bit about that earlier. Origin of holidays. We talked about that. And there is a conversational starters handout. I don't think it's part of what we handed out today, but is it? Did you look, Dora? But in any event, it's on the website if it's not in what we handed out today. I'm going to take a brief pause and let Dora talk a little bit about her experience.
Hi, everyone. Can anyone hear me well? Yeah, so my name is Dora, and I just graduated from University of New Hampshire with a degree in environmental science. So, 4 years ago, I first came to America without having any relatives or friends here. So I came here alone and, without knowing anyone. So the first week in United States, I was feeling very lonely and having a lot of trouble making friends. But I feel very blessed that, so at the very beginning of my college life, I was being approached by a group of Christian people. And so coming here with like poor English and introvert personality, so I don't really know how to like talk to foreigners, talk to like American people. So I have a lot of fear in my heart. And but these people, they are like so nice and friendly towards me. They reach out to me and they invite me to go to their house to have dinner with them and ask me to hang out with them to have a cup of coffee. And also like they just like provide anything that I need. They help me move. They help me just like with my English and with my essay in class. Just like everything. That's just make me feel like wow, so much love and care. And they really just like care so much about my feeling, because growing up, I was being raised in an atheist family. And growing up, I don't really feel that much love and care from my parents. So, which is great that like I got to get to be with a group of people like them. That make me feel like, this is such like a place even better than my home. I feel like, this group of people, they are just so cool and attractive. So they started to invite me to go to Bible study, to go to church. So, I think, they are such nice people. And, they are living the kind of love that I have never experienced before. So, that attracted me to do the things that they usually do. That made me really feel like, as I got involved with them more, as I studied the Bible more, I started to feel that this book is amazing, and there's a lot of things that really just make sense. And I started to realize that the kind of love they live out, it's actually not from themselves, it's from Jesus. So as a freshman year of my college, I decided to make a decision to follow Jesus, which really changed my life. And now I'm, thinking back, I really feel blessed and appreciate that God has bring these people in my life to, let me really experience His love and grace. So much blessings. And I just feel like, this also, makes me, like at that point, just like how they love me makes me really just want to be the kind of people they are.
Thank you, Dora. Appreciate you sharing that. Okay, do's and don'ts in your conversation. Avoid politics. It can be fine, but, obviously, as we all know, it's probably a good thing to avoid even with Americans. Avoid saying anything negative about another country. hey, you know, we heard in the news that this is happening. You know, what do you think? You know, don't do that, right? I mean, you, again, keep in mind, this hospitality, this is the key. I think Dork just explained it quite well, actually. This is the key. Hospitality opens the mind to what God has to share with others, right? With the international students. Obviously, you know, I hesitate when I'm talking about the international students, because everything that's applied to international students is applied to our neighbors down the street too, right? But I mean, it is hospitality that opens the door in many times. You know, you hear a lot of times people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, right? We have to be willing and ready to express that and be able to, you know, give time. I think you were talking about time and obviously money and other types of resources as well. But when you invest in others, they obviously start to ask the question, why, right? And that's what we want. Our, you know, our reflection of Christ is important. We talked about this. Speak clearly, not loudly. Loudly sends a different message. When you're trying to go slow, when you're trying to speak distinctly, don't translate that to speaking more loudly. It's not like they have poor hearing when you have international students in your home. It's simply that you want to be clear. If they obviously have solid conversational English, then that will be obvious too. Remember that they may take longer to respond. Give them time. They might have to translate. Again, if you've gone through learning another language, sometimes two words are pretty close together but can mean different things. Or it's how something is used in a sentence. Be normal with your prayer. Be willing to answer questions if asked. It's okay to invite them to church. Interesting conversations may take place if the Holy Spirit is driving. So one thing that we typically do, our church has had, you know, service on the days of the holidays themselves. So, you know, Thanksgiving Day service, doesn't matter. Of course, that's always on a Thursday. But, you know, Christmas, obviously, that can fall on any day. And we have a church service on that day. So, you know, we've always invited our international students, would you like to go to church with us? If you would, we'll pick you up at such and such a time. If not, we'll pick you up after church at such and such a time. We have different, because typically we'll sign up for maybe four or more students. Some might come, some might not. But one particular Sunday morning, and I think it might have been you, Evan, or maybe Joel, I can't remember, but you talk about, you know, students not knowing, they haven't been exposed to Jesus at all, right? So our bulletin had something in it, you know, and in a particular paragraph, it referred to Jesus in different ways. Talked about Lord, talked about Savior, talked about Jesus. And, you know, I noticed the student that was sitting next to me looking at that, and he said, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. He said, are these three people all the same person? And I said, yeah. I'd be happy to talk with you a little bit more about that after the service, if you'd like. And he says, yeah, I'd like to do that. And so after the service, we talked about it. We ended up talking about Jesus for a couple hours after the church service, right? Now, who does that other than the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, it just doesn't happen, right? But the point is that there may be opportunities, but that's not a guarantee that there will be, right? So you just go by the Holy Spirit's guidance on that, right? Do not discuss Christian persecution in their country. Make sure that you are very generous. Again, Dora spoke to that well, right? People being kind, generosity, hospitality, all of these things go so far in being able to have an impact on others. Share your pictures. So, you know, we talked about that. You know, a lot of people use either Facebook or other social media, Instagram, etc. You know, we typically have games on holidays in one way or another, and they will enjoy doing that. Something that we do, I don't know how many of you, you know, open stocking gifts, but I am shocked at how much of a response we've had from our students that come to share a Christmas holiday, because our family doesn't spend a lot of money on the stocking stuffers, but they spend a fair amount of time. What we do is just simple stuff. I mean, like from the grocery store, and you wrap them up. And it's just a, it's kind of a silly tradition in our family, but I mean, you have to try to figure out what it is, right? So you have to shake it, and, all right, what's in it, what kind of food is in it, right? So we will have a stocking stuffed to the gill for every international student that comes. And I cannot tell you how much they love trying to guess what's in those things in terms of food, right? And then when they're wrong, they'll laugh and everything. But then they take all of those things home with them, right? So that's just a way to get them engaged and involved, right? And they seem to enjoy that. They love to get pictures, you know, with the traditions, you know, like Christmas trees and stuff like that. So they'll want to do that, again, to be able to send those things home. If we put any gag gifts or anything like that, you can see they've enjoyed those kinds of things too, because our family will typically, yeah, I've got a weird family, but yeah, we all do some unusual gifts sometimes at Christmas. Follow-up questions. Look for ways to maintain contact after you've met with these students, right? Try to follow up immediately. Tell your friends about your experience. Pray for the student. You know, we talk about the power of prayer all the time, but often, you know, we wait until, you know, nothing else has worked before we actually use it, right? Prayer is very, very powerful, and we should be always making use of that, right? Remember that they may have a stronger connection with you than you may think, because you may have been their first American experience. So Jai Min here spent a few days with us. We picked her up at the airport. It was her first experience in the United States. We enjoyed her, and we followed up a fair amount for the first year, but not a great deal, meaning we didn't continue that on, right? But it was interesting to me, and somewhat sad, to be perfectly transparent and honest, because we didn't do a consistent, like, long-term kind of relationship with her, although we have with some. And 3 years later, we hadn't talked to her now for a good solid 2 years, right? 3 years later, she contacted us, and she asked if she could bring her parents by to meet us because she was graduating. It was that important to her. This was her first experience. She told her family all about us. She wanted them to meet us. So she brought her parents and her sister, and they all came over for a meal, and we enjoyed the evening together. So you don't know what kind of an impact you're having, right? And you want to make sure that you take advantage of that. Some common fears. I have small children. These are my responses. It's not only an opportunity to educate the international students on family life, but you have no impact to the benefits to your own children. We have three children. They have all gone into the mission field in one way or another. And it's because they have enjoyed the process. And one of our daughters is actually joining IFI and in the process of generating support right now. Concern, I have no experience. Guess what? Neither did Gideon. Did God give him what he needed? Yep. I mean, he obviously was able to do what he needed, right? Concern, I don't know what they might like to eat. They want to experience America. We talked about that before, and they want to experience your cooking or whatever you typically do in your household. I'm a little intimidated to try this on my own. God gives us the strength to try all of these things, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Will they take anything? We've never feared it. We've never had it happen, and we've had a lot of international students in our home. What will we talk about? There is a list of suggested conversation starters, it's an interesting way to do this. But let's say you don't know whether you're going to remember them, and you don't want to look at them at the moment. Assign somebody in your family, your husband, so you can say, hey, Greg, if I look like I'm struggling or if I give you this nod, go into the other room and get our conversational starters. Come back with a couple of questions to ask. That's your assignment, right? And that way, you know, someone else can be ready to go, right? What will we do? There is also a list of activities on the website. Pull that list out. All kinds of stuff. What we've done all kinds of things from playing games. One thing that we found that every international student has loved so far has come to our place on a Christmas anyways, is we'll do gingerbread houses. Why? Because they get to use their creativity. They create a gingerbread house. They end up decorating it. They want their pictures taken with it, and they have something to take home in addition to the things that they got in their stockings. They're coming home pretty loaded. They got a box with their gingerbread house in it. You know, they've got the things, you know, in a grocery bag from what they got from their stocking. It's fantastic. They're excited throughout. How will I find them at the airport? Be prepared with a sign. Know the flight number. Tell them where you'll be. What about the age gap? We talked about that a little bit. They're thrilled that you're willing to spend some time with them. So there are opportunities to share the gospel when God provides it. I told you about the one. So there are others that have asked questions that are, you know, curious. None so direct, but we have had, you know, we had enough where people, we gave Bibles to a couple of them, you know, that were very interested. They invited us over to their place for a meal afterwards. This lasting relationships, the first family, close friendship. Quick story about this. 30 years ago, we invited our first international Chinese student to our home for Christmas. It wasn't through IFI, like I mentioned. They had a three-year-old daughter who is now a doctor. And the wife and the doctor had been in the country 2 days, knew no English whatsoever, zero. He knew some. We invited them to church before a Christmas celebration. Later, we helped them find a car. Periodically, we followed up with them. We had meals with them. This is one of the ones that we really did continue on for a period of time. Since then, we've lost a daughter, and they've had one born right there with cerebral palsy. You can tell that she's being helped to stand there. And you never know what the Lord is going to do with a small bit of faithfulness. What followed? Well, the relationship that we had with them was, you know, multi-years. Eventually, we moved from Texas back to Ohio. He moved. He was a doctor, got research job in Kentucky. So he went from Texas to Kentucky. And we had this thing that when we had people visit our home, we had just like a little guest book. If people wanted to say, you know, anything about their trip, then they did, right? And we knew they were Christians, but we didn't know why. Well, you know, when they came back and they visited us in Ohio after years of being separated physically, and they came when our daughter passed away, the other daughter. They wrote in that little booklet that when they went to church that first day and spent that time with us, that they felt God's love in a way that they'd never felt, and they didn't know who God was. And so after they left our church, they looked for a Chinese church, and they became, you know, believers, and, you know, Christ worked in their lives. And ever since then, they have had a tremendous impact on their community. So you never know what kind of an impact you're going to have. Review the handouts. We talked about that. There's online training. We talked about all of that. Whoops, did that accidentally. You know, look in Luke and Matthew, looking specifically for when Jesus went for a meal and who he invited and what he talked about. We are pretty much out of time, but I am open to any questions that you might have. Yeah. That's great.
One was the actual name, the other was the But they really appreciated that because they used it in the language. I had them put together
That is a fantastic idea. Great. Anybody else want to add ideas or things that you've done? We've done that as well. Yeah, pumpkin. Yep. So pumpkin carving is a great, great example this time of year. Any others? Yep, Greg. I'm sure it would be. I think either is fine. When you are participating in the Christmas holiday, again, the key that IFI is looking for is what do you do as a family and when would you like to invite them? The fact that they are invited to anything is very beneficial for both the, you know, the hosting family as well as the international students. So, yeah, I mean, anything that you want to do is just perfect. What else? Yeah. No, that's exactly right. I mean, that's what we want to do, is we want to give them things also to remember the trip by, I mean the visit by. And again, they're also often bringing things for us to remember their visit by, right? So, yeah. You know, I think you might have come in a little bit after I started, so I can't remember whether you were here when I was sharing that. But yeah, that is something I shared at the beginning, is that in many ways, you know, they want to be involved in any way that they can, you know. And so it's actually a great way to interact. Let them feel as though they're a part of what's going on. And you're absolutely right. For her in particular, if she wasn't able to communicate, that was a way in order to basically say thanks, right? That kind of thing. So yeah, great, great example.
And then after that, you started not setting
the right. Helping. We've done that as well. Yes, that is fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. Any other things to share? Yeah.
Again, I'm not going to tell you what I want to see, but simple things we don't think about are very new to him. He enjoys learning some, you know, American history, U.S. history, and even European, you know, like I'm out of German village, so our third meeting, we walked around a German village. And he seemed to so enjoy eating corned beef at Katzen. He'd never had it. What does the corn do? He'd never heard of that. I said, I have no idea, but it's how the meat's prepared. But even talking about words and things, he just seems to enjoy, you know, and is this American? I said, yeah, it's really European, you know. I don't know where the word delicatessen came from. The idea of shop and sandwiches and things. The Europeans brought that with them, and we talked like that. And he seems to really enjoy it. And he tells me about Taiwan and stuff. But simple things we don't even think about. He'll ask one question, and you realize this is new for him. He's never had an experience quite like that.
Yeah, actually, we've found kind of the questions have sometimes prompted us to go look into something.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good question. I'm going to go try to figure that out so that I'll have the answer the next time. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So we talked about questions at the beginning. What things didn't we hit that we should have? Do y'all feel like you had, to some degree or another, answers to the questions that you were? Okay. Good. Yeah. Well, that can be a risk, can't it? You know, yeah, that means we actually have to clean. No, in reality, it is just, that was an example of something that you can do when they get there, because it's again an element of feeling comfortable, right? Because I mean, you're typically going to show them where the bathrooms are and stuff, anyways. Our house is a rather unique house. I live on a farm that my family's lived on for a couple hundred years. And, you know, it's the house that I live in was a barn when I was a kid, you know, so I show them a little bit of, you know, the history behind it. My grandfather ran a seed business out of it. And so, you know, I'll take them around, show them some pictures, that kind of thing, but talk a little bit about construction in America, you know, because part of the house was added on to with normal stick frame kind of construction. And the older part is post and beam construction, you know, like a barn. So, yeah, I mean, it's really just getting them to feel comfortable, showing them where the bathrooms are, you know, those kinds of things, and anything that you have to share. And then typically we'll pull the map out shortly after that and talk a little bit about where they're from and how large the city is, population, where their family, how close, you know, that kind of thing. What else?
Yeah.
That's good. I actually haven't heard that before, but I don't think we've ever shown them the bedrooms. But yeah, that's good to know. Other questions? Okay, well, just want to tell you, it's a joy to meet you all. I think the next session is going to be starting here in a few minutes. So I apologize for running a few minutes over. Hope that it was of some benefit to you, and God bless you.